We're studying here Tav Resh Tzadi Hei, which is on page 321. We read the Mechaber and Sif Beis, and we're up to the Ramah. The Ramah is not a big fan of getting drunk on Purim. He rather advocates drinking a little bit more than he's used to drinking. He should fall asleep, and that's how he fulfills Ad Lo Yoda Bein Or Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Some will drink more, some will drink less. Each person will figure out what's good for him, and each person has in mind that he wants to fulfill the mitzvah l'shem shamayim. However, everybody fits into the following category: aimless anos bepurim. That's for all of us. No one's allowed to fast on Purim. Milvad tainis chalom.
Just like on Shabbat.
Now, this is a big issue here about Tainis Chalom. The Ramah seems to assume that in the case of Tainis Chalom, you're allowed to fast on Purim. Not everyone would agree to that.
Purim is the status of Shabbos.
But it's even more, in a certain sense, it's even more severe than Shabbos. Why? Because in Shabbos, there's no Iser Tainis per se. The problem with fasting on Shabbos is because of Bittul Oneg. And if he had a tinnitus, he had a bad chalom, and he wants to fast, that's considered oneg. But in the case of Purim, there's no mitzvah of oneg. The mitzvah is mishte. And mishte means simply drinking. So to say that because he had a bad dream, and it's a pleasure for him, so to speak, to fast, he's in a better mood, and he's more at home with himself when he fasts, that would be enough to justify fasting on a day of mishte. You know, that's a real chiddush here. The question is the Ramah telling you what his basis? No, he doesn't give you any basis for it. Let's see if the Mishnah Berurah had something. Milvad tainis chalom number vav, that's four lines up from the bottom. V'yis'ana ad achar mincha. Ah, interesting. The Mishnah Berurah changes the whole nature of what's going on over here. He's saying that.
That's why most people have their Siddha.
Yeah, as far as Tainis Chalom is concerned, he can fulfill Tainis Chalom without having to be mashlim the Tainis till after Shkia. He can start eating before Shkia, and it's still considered a kium, a fulfillment of Tainis Chalom. So he's taking care of his basis for Tainis Chalom. Now, after Mincha, Yochal, he's going to eat a seuda kodem bias hashemesh, before sunset, rak pamachas, which is okay because the bare minimum chiyuv of eating on Purim is covered by one achila. And if you take a look in the Sharetziu number vav, he's quoting the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim. So both the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim are trying to implement what we call Efshel Kaim Shneim, that you can fulfill both. You can have your cake and eat it. You can fulfill Tainis Chalom on the one hand and Sudas Purim on the other hand. And this gets me a little bit more excited, or shall I say, comforts me in understanding the Psak of the Ramah, because I was upset about the Tainis Chalom. How does the Tainis Chalom undermine the mitzvah of Mishta on Purim? But the answer is he will fulfill the mitzvah of Mishta. Hanishba l'tatlis anos bepurim yir'e lahatir shvu'oso. He's not quoting anyone in particular, but the general consensus is that anyone who fasts on Purim is violating the mitzvah of Mishta. So if he took a shvu'a that he'll fast on Purim, what is he going to do in such a case? Come join us, Larry. Do I have an extra Mishnah Berurah for you? You can, oh, thank you so much. You could use this one. So if you'll take a look on the left page, we're three lines up from the bottom in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Yira lahatir shvuasa. He should be matir his shvu. Which means he gets together a tribunal of three people, and he tells them, look, I didn't want to accept upon myself this oath to undermine a mitzvah of Sudas Purim, and therefore please be matter the oath. This is something that we usually do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but in this case, he took the Shvua now, right before Purim, and we have to be matter his Shvua for him. You know, there's certain shvuos or nedarim that you cannot be matir. That's when you take a shvuah to fulfill a mitzvah. It's very difficult to be matir. But here, on the contrary, he's taking a shvuah to be mavatal a mitzvah. So we'll be very comfortable here to be matir his shvuah for him. And that's what we're going to do.
Isn't there some kind of cloud where it's the
shmur is bittul,
like you can't,
it's not chal to begin with,
right?
So I think what he's talking about, I can't promise you, is a case where he took a shvuah that he will fast every Monday and Thursday, and it turns out without being aware of it that Monday coincides with Purim or Thursday coincides with Purim. So the shvuah per se is chal because it's not what you call a shvuah levatal as a mitzvah. Ein nishbon levatal as a mitzvah. So, for example, if a person takes a shvuah that he won't sit in the sukkah during the course of sukkahs, that shvuah is batal me'ela. You don't need to be matir that shvuah. But here he took an all-encompassing shvuah on every Sunday or every Monday, and now it turns out that Sunday or that Monday is Purim. Then he has to be matir the shvuah. The Ramah continues and he says, "Yesha nagu lulbosh bigdei Shabbos v'yontu b'purim." The Hasidim, interestingly enough, are very, very machpid about this. That on Purim they wear bigdei Shabbos and bigdei yontif. V'chein nochon, and the Maril advocates in favor of that minhag. I have to tell you the truth. On a pure halachic level, I'm not talking emotionally, this is a big problem for me, because I always understood that the mitzvah of wearing Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Yontif is generated by what's called Kvod Shabbos or Kvod Yontif. We don't know that there's a mitzvah of Kvod Purim. Purim is an ordinary day. It's completely devoid of Kiddush Sayom. So if you tell me that on Purim he has to wear Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Yontif, I have a problem with that. The Chassidim, as I told you, are big on this. They wear the Strimelach and the whole nine yards. It could be that this minhag is based on the sugya in Masechet Megillah, that initially what Mordechai and Esther tried to do was to convince the Rabbanon to accept Purim as a yontif. In fact, the Gemara wanted to suggest that there should be Isur Malach on Purim. Now, even though the final conclusion of the Gemara is that they never accepted that never got off the ground, and although they accepted the days of Purim as days of Zechira and Asiyah, which means reading the Megillah, and Mishta and Simcha, Mishlaf Manos, Matos Sivyon, but they never accepted Purim as an Isur Malacha, but nevertheless, the day itself is still invested with the status of a Yontif. And where do I see this? In two ways I see it. Number one, the Gemara says that Hallel is a requirement on Purim, according to Rav Nachman, but Kriya Sezui Hilula, so the Kriya of the Megillah now substitutes for Hallel, and it would seem therefore that the day is invested with a certain status of a Yontif. Like any Yontif requires Hallel, so too Purim requires Hallel. Just in this case, we fulfill that mitzvah Hallel through Megillah reading. And point number two, to prove that this day is invested with a special status as a Yontif, the Poskim write in the name of the Meiri and others that if you don't have a Megillah, you could still recite the Brach Hashosa Nisim Lavosenu by Yomim Ahem Bazman Hazeh, and maybe even Shekhiyotu Mikimonu Migyotu Lazman Hazeh. These are two brachas that we normally recite over the Megillah reading, but in the absence of Megillah, because we can't find a Megillah, we recite these brachas in any event. So the question is, if there's no Megillah, what's going to generate these brachas? And the answer is the day itself is invested with the status of Yontif. It seems that the Minog went a step further and went back to the original desire on the part of Mordechai and Esther to establish this day, or these two days, you know, depending upon Tesvav and Yudalt, as days of Yontif. And the Nafkamina is going to be Isur Malacha, and what we're talking about here is the minhag of Big Day Shabbos. Now, we already had earlier the minhag of those who don't do Malacha on Purim. That was back here in, I think it was Tofrei Shetani Beis, if I remember correctly, or maybe even earlier than that. So that minhag again is going to reflect the Hava Mina, so to speak, that Purim is invested with the status as a Yontif. Now we see another minute, Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Yontif, to reflect that minute that we accept the original Hava Mina, that this day is invested with the status of a Yontif. V'noagim laso sudas Purim li'achar mincha. Now what does this mean? Any time during the day is fine for the Sudas Purim. Again, it has to be by day and not at night, as we saw in Sif Aleph, Sudas Purim Shasa B'Lai Lo Yotzi Dechavasa. But why should it be after Mincha? And Minhag Yisrael Torah, there must be some basis for this Minhag. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, Li'achar Mincha, that's three lines up from the end of the page. Hadalona Higiyah Lasosim Shachris, why not just simply set up your suda in the morning? Mishum shetrudim b'mishloach manos. We are so preoccupied with the mitzvah of mishloach manos during the morning hours that we won't be able to dedicate just amount of time for the sudas Purim. So we're juggling a lot on the day of Purim. We don't have that much time. Mishloach manos is going to take up, gobble up, we would say, most of the morning. If we're going to also push in Sudas Purim into the morning, then something's going to have to give way, and we won't give due concentration to both. So therefore, what we're going to do is, since we start the day with Mishloach Manos, we're going to go on and daven Mincha, and then after Mincha, we're going to sit down and organize our Sudas Purim. Then the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, V'nimshachim barov ad ha-mincha, meaning in most cases, Mishloach Manos takes you so much amount of time that you're busy with it till after Mincha. Till Mincha time. Now, I'm not sure why Mishloach Manos has to take so much time. All you have to do is send two Manos to one person. How long does that have to take? I think, again, this is just my own feeling, that the minhag was that anybody who brings you Mishloach Manos, you give them back Mishloach Manos. And so they wanted to preoccupy themselves during the entire course of the morning with the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And then he writes, and this is really shocking, Vasurim lahaschil b'seuda kodem mincha. Asurim, which is talking in third person, they are prohibited from starting the suda before mincha. Who's the they? And I think the they goes back to these individuals that have adopted the custom of Noagim Lasos Purim Liacha Mincha, and therefore you should not make these sudas Purim before Mincha. But let's say you never accepted, you're not part of that group that accepted the Minhag, and for your part you can set up the sudas Purim during the morning, there's no problem with that. But this Minhag was a very, how should I say, powerful and well accepted minhag that was anchored, entrenched in the mental, emotional, communal mind of Klal Yisrael, that we don't start the Sudas Purim until after Mincha. Now, is there a point halachically to set up everyone?
Right.
I tell you, that's what I wanted to get to. Is there a point? Is there a reason or something pushing us that everyone should start the Suda at the same time of the day? Meaning that once the minhag was, let's dedicate the morning to Mishloach Manos, no one should exclude themselves, should be poreh, should remove themselves from the minhag of setting up Sudas Purim in the afternoon. So I want to suggest two possibilities here. One possibility is Mincha. What we want to do is, we want to make sure that the community is around for Mincha. If we're going to wait till the normal time for Mincha, which is like right before Shkia, and everyone's involved in their own Sudas Purim, it's going to be, as we say here in Israel, a big balagan. It's going to be total confusion. Because this one is a little drunk, and this one is helping out his wife, and you know what goes on Purim. So we'd rather start Mincha for the entire community at the same time, and then send everyone home to eat their Sudas Purim. Because if we set up Mincha before the Sudas Purim, we can almost guarantee that Mincha will be attended, there'll be decorum, people are not drunk, and so forth and so on.
that's an important part.
Right. Now, there's another possible approach here, and that has to do with Matanos Levyonim. It could be that we want to send a message to the poor people. When is a good time to come around and collect Matanos Levyonim? Because one of the big challenges of Matanos Levyonim is finding an Evyon. So in order to find an Evyon, you want to make sure that people are coming around. So I can tell you what goes on in my neighborhood. I live in a neighborhood called Har Nof. And in the afternoon, that's when the poor people, and especially yeshivas, this is a good day for them to collect for the yeshivas. Now, when they collect for the yeshivas, very often they're collecting for poor boys in the yeshiva. And if not, they're collecting for a gemach for the yeshiva, so that if there are boys who need to borrow money, they can collect from this money. Others will collect for institutions like Yad Sara, Yad Ezra, and so forth and so on. I'm not sure if that's my phone. Oh, so maybe we can just shut off the phone. So we'll finish up. I won't keep you too long. So if we could send out the word to the Aniyim, now some Aniyim will come during Kriyas HaMegillah, but that's also very tricky, because during the Megillah itself, nobody wants to be bothered. We're not going to allow the Aniyim to undermine the decorum. And after Megillah reading, everyone's out. So there's that little slice of time at the end of Kriyas HaMegillah for the Aniyim to find you. In the afternoon, when everyone is sitting in their homes eating the Suda, it's a lot more easy to facilitate the mitzvah Matanos Levyonim. The bottom line is the Mishnah Berurah is taking a very strong stand that you should not begin your Suda in the morning. Now, what about breakfast? I come home from the Megillah reading. Let's say I daven Hanetz, right? So I'm home from the Megillah reading at 7, or you're not going to tell me to wait till the afternoon to eat a Suda. So you could say, well, I'll have a bowl of cereal and I'll make a mizonos and fartig ha'maisa. But some people will want to wash and they'll want to say al adisim. And now we get into the whole issue about whether you could have two seudas of Purim on the same day. Because really the mitzvah is only to eat one seuda, but he wants to eat another seuda. Do we say tov lo bracha, let him be blessed, tzayin benched, you want to add another seuda, that's fine. Or should we say no? You know, you're going to use up your al-anisim on the first round, you won't be able to use up the al-anisim on the second round, which is your seudas Purim. But be that as it may, let's say we solve that problem. And we're going to allow him to say al-anisim twice, both in the benching of the morning and the benching of the afternoon. Then the halacha would have no objection. But when he says asura, it means to set up the Suda's Purim with all the requirements of Suda's Purim, which we're going to see later on, that we don't do in the morning. But you want to wash on a piece of sumsum challah or sumsum lachmariyah and then eat a couple of pieces of fruit or yogurt or whatever you like to have for breakfast, that's okay. I don't think there's a... It's not an Issa that you have to fast during the morning. That's not what he's saying. We can't expect you to come home at 7 in the morning and wait to eat your Suda till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Truthfully, I would add my own comment here that we should try to start the Suda as early as possible. We come back from Mincha. Again, we have to... Our heart goes out for the Eishes Chayil, for the woman of the family, because she's been, you know, dedicating the entire morning to Mishloach Manos. And now, boom, we went out to Mincha, came 15 minutes later, and we're ready for the Suda. We can't impose that on our wives, but if she's able to start the Suda earlier, and you can gather together the people, early is better than later. Because the Suda's Purim can take a long time. It's schlep for hours, and it's a high point of the year almost. So why push it to a very short period of time? Fine. Now we get to the last line here in the Mishnah Berurah. We start with the Rambah. The Rambah says, "Mispalim mincha tchila biyoda yom gadol." So we're going to daven an early mincha. Let's say even before plag mincha. We'll talk about mincha gadola. And once we finish with Mincha at Mincha Gedolah time, we have the bulk of the afternoon for Suda's Purim. For Rov HaSuda Tzrichos Lios B'Yom. And the bulk of the Suda should be before Shkia. Again, we're going to see that the Suda's Purim could continue after Shkia with an Al Anisim, but you can't start you can't start your Suda 1 minute before Shkia and call it a Suda's Purim. It's got to be, the Ikra Achila has to be on Purim itself. Ma'ariv, you could daven at night, that's no problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Biodayom go to Kosev Eliyot Rab b'shem Hashalah Hamishubach." The best way of doing it, the ideal, would be Bisha also Suda b'Shachris. He's in favor of doing the Suda during Shachris. Now again, why would he be in favor of eating the Suda during Shachris? Either because the day is very short and he wants to make sure you give your due time for the Suda, or maybe he feels that that's a good time to get the Aniyim to come around during Shachris. We'll see.
But it sounds to mind so much as short about mincha. No?
Correct. These are the two minhagim. So the first minhag was that we eat the Suda's Purim in the afternoon and we gather together for mincha and then eat the Suda's Purim and try to eat it as early as possible. The Shalom says that let's gather together our family to eat the Suda's Shachris time, and by the time mincha is around, you know, we're all sobered up, hopefully, for mincha. Because of Ochi Kabetz Anshe Beso V'Chaverov, he should gather together the members of his household and his friends. The Efshel Small Karoy B'Yochit. A person alone is not going to reach the level of Simcha. You know, Simcha is a kind of a communal or a Chavrusa experience. You know, two people together. And he says, Mikomakom Yes Simcha Shel Divrei Torah. Okay, we didn't even talk about the Suda itself and the Simcha, but he's already giving you a little bit of a preview of coming attractions, and that is that Divrei Torah have to form the backbone, the essence of the Suda. Now, if you remember the Bir Allah, which we touched on last time, quotes the Meiri that it's impossible that we should be getting drunk. Getting drunk is antithetical to everything we know about Halacha. That's not simcha. That's a simcha shel holus v'shel shtus. But rather, we need a simcha of avas Hashem, of expressing our gratitude for all the great miracles and the salvation. That's what our simcha is going to be focused on. And therefore, to get drunk, that's antithetical. It doesn't make sense. The Chayyadim says that we want to drink wine at the Suda because, if you remember, the Nes took about, the Nes was expressed in the Suda of Yayin, and that was either the first Suda of Achashverosh, which culminated with the death of Vashti, or the Sudos that Esther set up for Achashverosh and Haman. In any event, the Chayyadim says no matter how much wine you're going to drink, make sure, be absolutely careful and convinced that Yodea Ba'atzmo, that he knows he won't be mezalzel in any mitzvah, he'll fulfill all the mitzvahs, he'll wash his hands for the meal, he'll make a bracha, he'll recite Birkas HaMazon, he'll recite Mincha. Everything should be done. We're not going to override any of the mitzvahs just because he's intoxicated.
A little wine does get a simcha.
Correct. But not to overdo it. That's what the Chayyadim is warning us. Some people just drink and drink till they get drunk, and they claim it's Adol Yoda, so they do have a leg to stand on. But the Chayyadim is discouraging us because he says, do you really know, can you be honest about it and say, I guarantee you, I'll fulfill all the different mitzvahs. I won't lose any one of them. So we're up to now the last line in the Ramah, and he says, V'rov ha'sudah tzrich liyos b'yom lo kama shenogim l'haskel somach li'erev v'ikar sudi leil tesva. He's absolutely opposed to the minhag of starting the Suda a little bit before Shkia, in which case the Suda is being eaten on the 15th of Adar. However, he says, U'kshechal, here we're turning to page 322, Purim b'yom shishi, if Purim coincides with Friday, here everybody's going to go with the Shalos approach, and we're going to recommend eating the Suda during the morning hours. Why? Because the Suda is very filling, and then he won't be able to eat his Leil Shabbos Suda with covered in oneg because he's already stuffed to the gills with all the beautiful halachas and hamantashen and whatever you're eating at the Suda. His Yasu HaSuda v'shachris mishum kvod Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, Kodim Chatzos Hayom L'Chatchila. you should start the Suda no later than right before Chatzos, and try to finish up the Suda in such a way that you still will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of owning Shabbos. The Ramah says, Misha rotza la sosa tamid v'shachas or shus b'yado. We're not going to object to anyone who accepts the shalah, and he always wants to set up his Suda in the morning. And he quotes the Torah Sabayis. Yesh Omrim, there's an opinion that says Sheyesh Lechol Machol Zer Onim Bipurim. We should eat legumes or seeds on Purim. Some people, by the way, eat this stuff the whole year round. It's supposed to be very healthy. And there's stores now that sell it. You can get it in a very sophisticated packaging with different kinds of seeds and nuts, legumes. Do any of you gentlemen need to do that? To eat those stuff? You put it into a salad?
Sprouts.
Ah, sprouts, nevatim. Yeah. I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about like... you'll see garinim, how do you call it?
Sunflower
seeds and different kinds of seeds. But why is he encouraging that we eat this on Purim? So he says the following: Zechel lezarunim, lezarunim sha'ochal Daniel v'chaver bebovel. Now we have a connection between Purim and Daniel. Okay, what's that connection all about? So first let's look at the Mishnah Berurah at Aleph. He says, Machal Zeronim Balaila Harishona. Okay, we'll come back to this a little later.
So it's not at the Suda.
No, this is not at the Suda. He says, Bipurim. Right, that's the language of the Ramah. When on Purim, that's where the Mishnah Berurah wants to fill in. And that is on the night of Purim. Okay. Daniel v'chaverov v'gam Esther ochla zeronim kiramirim perakav de Megillah v'yishanel l'tov she'achila zeronim. Now, why did Esther eat zeronim? So the Gemara says in Megillah that the zeronim have a special a chemical or a medicinal effect to soften the skin. Okay, we have to ask the dermatologists for their expert witness. But on a dermatological level, apparently this beautifies a woman, and that's why Esther, who had to show up in front of the king, what they would, and it wasn't because she asked for it, but that was the standard procedure, that they gave the girls zaronim to eat, and that then their faces would be smooth and glow.
But there's also the thing that Esther didn't want to say that she was Jewish, so if they gave her non meat and she asked, "Is this kosher?" That would indicate a Jew. So she said, "I'm a vegan."
Right. But I think all the girls got the same diet, which I think was made up of their own. Meat and stuff they would eat at home.
Right, during
those period of 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell you why Daniel. Do we have, by chance, any commentaries on the... No, we don't have that.
Well, Daniel was given meat by Nebuchadnezzar, and he didn't want to eat Nebuchadnezzar's meat. So
right.
So
a certain parallel, maybe. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, the reference here to Daniel is because the Gemara says in Megillah, Hasach. Do you remember Hasach? Hasach was the messenger who went back and forth carrying messages from Mordechai to Esther back and forth. So the Gemara was in amazement. I mean, what if Hasach, who's called in the Megillah one of the Sarisei HaMelech, is not Jewish, then he would have heard this whole message, which indicated that Esther was Jewish, and the word would have spread. Remember, the whole punchline here is of the whole Megillah story is when Esther gets Ahasuerus at the Suda and she reveals her identity, her origin. So the Gemara, in any event, identifies Hasach as Daniel. Gemara has two opinions as to what Achashverosh's relationship was with Daniel. The previous kings, and even going back to Nebuchadnezzar, had a tremendous respect for Daniel. He was considered a seer. He could see into the future. Achashverosh, however, is a question. One Maneor says Achashverosh also treated Daniel with the greatest of respect. Another Maneor says no. He lowered Daniel to the lowest level. In any event, this whole story about Daniel is related directly to Purim, insofar as Daniel itself plays a major role in Purim. So again, Daniel and his chaverim ate Zaronim in Bavel, and Esther ate Zaronim when she appeared before the king, before she... And now, we're going to make a zecher to these great events by eating Macholei Zeronim Bepur. I'm not sure if any of you have ever seen this. I myself have never seen this minhag. And the Ramah codifies it. You know, one thing about the Ramah Hilchos Megillah, I see it over and over again. He's into minhagim. He doesn't let up on minhagim. And at one point he writes, it's also to change minhagim, and so forth and so on. Tov lasok mi'at b'torah kodem shi'aska suda. Interesting. Before you set up your suda, the Ramah advocates that you learn a little bit of Torah. Usmach l'dov l'ehudim ma'isa ora v'simcha v'darshin an ora zu Torah. And simcha is the suda. So the Torah gives us a sequence in which ora, which is a reference to Torah, comes first, and only afterwards simcha. It's very interesting that the Megillah uses the word Ora as an allusion to Torah. Why didn't the Megillah just say Lehudim Hoysa Torah V'Simcha? I mean, Simcha is pretty explicit. Simcha is always a meal. You know, the Jews are into meals. We're into eating. And Simcha is something that we fulfill by eating a meal. On Yontif, Simcha on Shabbos, Simcha for a Siyum. Whenever you have a Simcha, a pigeon, a ben, a meal, it's always going to be... Give us a good meal, right? So that's going to be on Purim. But what is this word Ora? Like, who devices Ora? So some want to say that the word Ora refers not to Torah itself, but the impact of Torah. Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'Torah Or, which means that Torah generates a certain kind of infinite light, a spiritual, supernal light. And what we're talking about is that the people who experienced the great miracle of Purim, they had not only simcha, but they had aura. They had a true, genuine, real light, the light of Torah. And this all has to do with what's called kimu v'kibru, that during the great Megillah period of the Nes period of Megillah, the Jews accept upon themselves the Torah, which had previously been accepted with compulsion. They were compelled to do so. Kaf aleihem harkigi.
So, does Purim Torah count?
I don't think that's Ora, I'm not sure. But,
does that count, or by kind of Simcha?
Right, that might count on the Simcha, that's a good point.
Especially if you've had a couple of glasses of wine.
Okay, now he's going to go into a discussion about that Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. I just wanted to add one thing about begadim. You know, we said before that there was a minhag to wear Bigdei Shabbos on Purim. It seems to me, and don't quote me on this, that I think the Yekis, the German Jews, have a very special minhag. They have three sets of begadim. They have begadim that are designated for Shabbos, they have begadim that are designated for Yontif, and begadim that are designated for Purim. I mean, in addition to the weekday, you know, four categories. Now, why is this very relevant? Because for the Yekis, if for some reason you wear Big Day Shabbos on a weekday, then you no longer wear those begadim on Shabbos, because they lose their yichud, their designation. So that basically you have three levels. You have Shabbos on the highest level, you have Yontif on the next level, and Purim on the third level. And then you get to Big Day Chol, which is on the lowest level. So on Purim, you're going to jack it up by one notch, and then on Yontif by two notches, and then on Shabbos by three notches. But you actually have four different sets of begadim. And some of the Yekis, even to this day, are very mocked that if you have Big Day Shabbos, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, you had to wear it during the week, you know, you got stuck overnight somewhere, and all you had was, it was on a Motzi Shabbos, you wake up Sunday morning, you have nothing to wear except Big Day Shabbos, then from now on, it changes the designation of those begadim. And the big machlokus amongst the Yekis inside the community is about Hoshana Rabbah, which begadim to wear on Hoshana Rabbah. So some, I think, allow you to wear yontif clothes on Hoshana Rabbah. That Hoshana Rabbah is considered like a yontif. Others say you should wear big day chol, and others in the middle they say wear big day pur, because Hoshana Rabbah is one notch above big day chol, but it doesn't reach the level of yontif. So again, for you and I, this all may sound very strange to our ears, because we're either Litvaks, or we're Hungarians, or wherever we come from, you know, but we're not Yekis. But for the Yekis, this is very big.
The Rebbe wore a white shirt and tie check during the week, and on Shabbos, a blue shirt.
A blue shirt?
On Shabbos.
Why is that?
Special Shabbos.
A blue shirt on Shabbos? I never heard such a thing. Because usually a colored shirt is more for the weekday than for Shabbos. Right. But there are special begadim amongst Hasidim for Yom Kippur. And they want it designated for Yom Kippur. And in general, Hasidim wear Strimlich only on certain occasions. And I think there are some Hasidim that have two different sets of Strimlich. You know, Strimlich is not a cheap deal. You know, it's I don't have to tell you it's expensive. Now he writes the Rambam, V'chayev b'mishta v'simcha k'tzas b'shnei ha'yomim. This is another minhagah that the Rambam codifies. What do we do on Tesvav if we celebrate like Tel Avivians on Yudalit, or vice versa? What do we do on Yudalit if we Yerushalmis and we celebrate Purim on the 15th? Are we obligated in Suda and Mishta? So I would have told you absolutely not. But the Rambam codifies a minhag that there are 2 days of Purim. You know, if there's any holiday that you want to accept another day, I think Purim is a good candidate. You know, 2 days of Pesach, you know, for some of us to eat the morer, you know, second night, I don't know, it's a bit of a hassle. But my Shver, my father-in-law, loves the second night of Pesach. He can't believe, he said, like, how would I settle in Eretz Yisrael and give up on Yontif Sheni? He loves the second night Seder. He says he loves it better than the first night. But for me,
women like the second night, second Seder better because they're more rested.
Yeah, but also it's a hassle for the women, like with my Shver and Trigger here, and sometimes my other relatives, that, you know, my wife has to supply a second night. By that time, she's really, it's really challenging.
Or a few years ago, when the Seder was Saturday night, most of us were wondering what to do, and then there was one lady in Shul, and she said she absolutely loves the Seder on Saturday night because she's rested for the Seder.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, but she prepared already Erev Shabbos, hopefully, for the Seder. You know, she's got everything prepared.
I can understand enjoying the second Seder. Any excuse to drink 4 cups of wine.
Right, and now we have any excuse to have a Sudas Purim on a second day of Purim. That's pretty cool.
2 days away from mitzvah to drink wine.
Correct. So a Litvak will say, why are you drinking wine a second day? You already were Yotze on the first day. Let's say you're a Tel Aviv and now you're having a suit. So I'm going to quote to this Ramah. And the Ramah says, Chayov, it's a very strong Lashon, V'mishta v'simcha, b'shnei ayomim, on Yudalit and Tesvah, v'chei nagu. And he codifies this as a bona fide minhag. And you know the Ramah over and over again says, we don't break away from minhagim.
I recall going to work, day after Purim, and I stopped by a Rebbe and to ask him a shaila, and I was taken aback. He was wearing his strival, coming up with the suda.
It's based on this Ramah, v'chein nog. In fact, we're going to see later on the Ramah is going to talk about omitting to make a suda in Adar Aleph, which is going to get to this year in less than a month's time. That on either Aleph we make a Suda.
In exactly a month's time, 15th of Shabbat.
Right, I'm not saying you're down with this, but depending on where you are. What happens if you damage someone because you're very drunk on Purim? Normally, obviously, he has rights to compensation. But however, if he does it mikoch I think means under the influence, we'll see the Ramah, of Simchas Purim, potter milashalem. This is the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshet. The Ramah is telling you, you're going to have to learn this sugya very, very well. Not here in Hilchas Megillah, but you have to learn the laws of Nezikin. If I'm involved in a mitzvah and inadvertently I mazik you, do I have to compensate you? So, for example, Gemara Makis talks about someone who actually killed somebody while he was building a sukkah. And the question is, does he go to Eir Miklat in such a case? And the Gemara wants to say that since he's involved in the midst of building the sukkah, that's not called Ish Ki Yitzah, it's Chaver Biyar, if you remember the whole parasha there. Masai talks about, you know, when one person is chopping trees and the axe, you know, part of the axe.
But here, it can't be that that someone who overdoes it and drinks more than he should and gets it out, and then some people are more prone to become violent than
right, but I don't think, Ruby, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who drinks wine on Purim, but even a limited amount of wine could somehow impair your judgment.
Yeah, okay, you know? But and doesn't by accident push something, you know, tips over, doesn't,
right, exactly.
Hey, that's where,
that's what he's talking,
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but what,
you know, he spills the wine over his friend's suit.
Okay.
His friend sends it to the laundry, it costs him 25 shekels.
There are others that become shikur and become more prone to violence.
So that's what the Mishnah Brura wants to point out here. He says, in the name of the Bach, Yesh l'chalik ben hezek gadol hezek katan. I think what he means is, by hezek gadol, I mean, you stand up and you hit the guy over the head, you know, and the guy, the chas v'shalom, has to send him to, you know, to the hospital. That's a hezek gadol. You know, they're other mu'ud li'olam. But a hezek katan, where, you know, because you're, you know, your judgment or your motor movement is a, yes, little bit impaired, so you knocked over something. You know, you heard it, did you ever hear the Maccabees?
Yeah,
so the Maccabees have a very cute video, you know, with a song for Purim. They have a lot for Purim, but in one of them, they show you how the guy is eating his hamantash, and the entire middle of the hamantash falls down, and you know, on his clothes. You know, like. He says, "Bang begufu, bang bimama." Now here I'm not sure, but I think he says bang beguf, meaning if I hit you over the head, you know, that's called assault battery, you know, that's not something that you can claim, well, I was just a little high for Purim, and I was involved in Simchas Purim. But bimon, if I spill something over your clothes, that's a different story. But hezek gadol, he says makpid, you know, a person has to be very careful not to damage someone in a basic, you know, in a very profound way. The aim minute lift up a hezek gadol. In other words, if I'm losing a lot of money because I can't sue you and force you to compensate me, then I'm not going to give up on that right to be compensated for some sort of a hezek gadol. Now, what is mikach simchas pur? That's the key phrase in the Ramah that we want to analyze. Says the Mishnah Brura, the first of the wide lines, perish sha'asa mikoach asimcha, v'lim kivei lahazik chayim. Now, it's not that Purim itself as a day, a 24-hour period, is mufka, is excluded from Hezekiv and from Tainas Tvias Tashlumi Nezikin. There is Tvias Tashlumi Nezikin for a Hezek on Purim, but that's only a Hezek that was done, you know, regardless or independent of the fact that it's Purim. But any hezek that was a result of koach asimcha, as a result of the mitzvah of Purim, that's already a different story. And then we could mechalik ben hezek gadol, hezek katan, beguf, bemamon, as we did before. Now, if you take a look at the shar hatziyun over here, we'll take a look at, just 1 second, which number was it? I'm sorry, Yudalit, I think it was. Oh, Yudalit, he doesn't tell you who it is. But we'll get back to the Shar HaTzion a little bit later. And now we get to the din of Birkas HaMazon. So we've already eaten the Suda. I'm hoping that we'll get a little bit more details about the Suda's Purim. All we have so far is that it should be by day. hopefully after Mincha, but in certain cases, Erev Shabbos, etc., but in the morning, and that we should learn a little Torah before we engage in the Sudas Purim. Make sure not to damage anyone. If you damage someone because Simchas Purim, it could be you don't have to pay damages in some very restricted cases. But more than that, we haven't gotten to. We'll hopefully get more of a vision of what a Sudas Purim should look like. He finished his Suda, obviously has to bench. And make sure you're not too drunk to bench, as we said in the name of the Chayodah before. And he adds Al-Anisim to benching. This is absolutely critical. He should not leave out Al-Anisim in benching. Says the Mechaber, Sif Gimel. Omer Al-Anisim Bebirkas HaMazon. He should recite Al-Anisim at the end, or actually in the middle of Birkas HaMazon, Bebirkas HaAretz, that's what we call Noda Lecha, the second bracha. And if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, what happens if he forgot, he omitted Al-Anisim, Yesh Omerim de Machzir Noso, V'yesh Omerim de Ein Machzir Noso. Is Al-Anisim absolutely critical, such that he has to repeat Birkas HaMazon, take it from the top, if he omitted Al-Anisim? And you'll see that this is a great debate. You know, the it's like a who's list in Poskim on both sides of the equation. The Mishnah Berurah typically is going to apply the principle of Sofek Brochas Lahakil. In other words, he's not going to allow you to repeat Birkas HaMazon at the same time. Personally, I would be more inclined towards the first opinion, Machzir Noso. And I'll tell you why. What is the rule in Birkas HaMazon as far as Hosafos? Whenever there's a Tosefos to Birkas HaMazon, what does the law say if he omitted that Tosefos? And the answer is, it depends on whether there's a Chiyuv Suda or not. So for example, on Rosh Chodesh, where there's no Chiyuv Suda, if he left that Yalav V'Yovah and Benchi, he doesn't repeat Birkas HaMazon. But on Yontif, where there's a Chiyuv Suda, and how much more so would say on Shabbos, if you omit the Tosefos, you have to repeat Birkas HaMazon. If that be the case, I would make the distinction between Chanukah on the one hand and Purim on the other. Chanukah doesn't have a Chiyuv Suda, and therefore if you left out Yalav V'Yovah and benching on Chanukah, you don't have to repeat benching, and that seems to be the maskon of the Gemara there on Daf Chof Dalet in Masechta Shabbos. But in the case of Purim, where there's a Chiyuv Suda, it should be upgraded to the same status as a Yontif or a Shabbos. Again, we don't have Yalav V'Yovah, but we have Al-Anisim. Al-Anisim is a Tosefos, which changes the, transforms, or upgrades the whole nature of the Birkas HaMazon. That this Suda is a Suda of a Mitzvah. And to generate the status of a Suda Mitzvah, I say Al-Anisim. The Birkas HaMazon integrates to the Suda to create one entity. If he left out the Al-Anisim, that's not a Birkas HaMazon that can transform the Suda into a Suda's Purim.
Yeah, but one should be, you would say, in the benching, still, if he forgot Al-Anisim, but he may not be, you would say, in the Suda.
Correct.
So therefore, perhaps he should wash and have another Suda.
I don't think so. I think he ate his Suda. He's missing one piece of the puzzle. The Makabe Patish that clinches that Suda that he ate and makes it into a Suda's Mitzvah, whether it's Shabbos, Yontov, is the Tosefos in benching. So for example, we're not going to say to a person that if he left out Ritzeh on Shabbos, he has to repeat his whole Suda and start washing again. We'll say he has to repeat benching. The same thing on Yontov, he leaves out Yalav V'Yovah. Not so in the case of Rosh Chodesh, not so in the case of Chanukah. There we have a Tosefos, but that Tosefos remains a separate entity, a separate Tosefos. It's a chiyuv, but it doesn't integrate into the Birkas HaMazon. It's not part of the fabric of the Suda. And why is that so? Because there's no chiyuv Suda. But on Purim there's a chiyuv Suda. Now that's why I mentioned to you before that it becomes very tricky if he eats two Sudas on Purim. And the poskim are perplexed by this, because if the purpose of the Al-Anisim is to set up the Suda as a Suda's Mitzvah, he only has a Mitzvah once. It's not like Yontif or Shabbos. Every time you eat a Suda, it's a Suda Shabbos. Every time you eat a Suda Yontif, it's a Suda Yontif. In the case of Purim, there's only one Suda. And if he's eating two Sudas, so I would say the following. Again, I'm not telling you halacha l'maisa, but logically it would be that if he left that Al-Anisim in the morning Suda, intending to set up his Suda's Purim in the afternoon, I would say he doesn't have to repeat benching. Even according to those who would claim that if he left out Al-Anisim in his afternoon Suda, meaning in the Suda's Purim, he has to repeat benching. But in any event, there are two categories of Al-Anisim. There's one category of Al-Anisim, which is a Chova of Tosefis, and then there's another category of Al-Anisim that absolutely transforms or impacts on the Suda itself, upgrading it to the level of a Suda's Mitzvah.
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says.
But the Lysi says something brachas lahakel. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
I'm saying the next line.
Oh, he changes his mind?
No, he says imachal shnei sudas.
Oh. So 1 second. Oh, is he? Because here he says Safik Brachas Lahakil. Just wait, don't confuse me now. I don't think he's changing his mind here.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Oh, he says, here's Vedavka. Vedavka means, when is there a machlokes? That's only in the Suda Rishon Shochel Bo Bayom. Al Besuda Shni Shochel Acham Mincha Shekorm Sudas Purim Ukvar Ochel Suda Achas Bayom Shuvei Machzino Solakuli Alma. He's making the following comment. He's saying that even according to that opinion that requires you machzirin oso, that only applies if he didn't recite Al-Anisim at all. But let's say in a case where, just 1 second, Aval Besuda Shnia, and he's already recited Al-Anisim in the first Suda, then everybody agrees that Ein Machzirin also.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
Correct. But his original statement of Sofik Brachos LaHakel in a classic case where you only ate one Suda and you omitted Al-Anisim, here again, you know, the Mishnah Berurah obviously is entitled to his opinion. He's worried about those poskim who say that in general Ein Machzirin also. But it seems to me that the logical, compelling conclusion is that machzirin also, because it's no different than Yalav Yovo on Yontif. Whenever there's a Chiyuv Suda, even in Rosh Chodesh there would have been machzirin also, despite the fact it doesn't have the status of a Yontif because of Suda's Rosh Chodesh. But we don't paskin like that opinion that there is a Suda's Rosh Chodesh. So we're going to assume there's no Suda's Rosh Chodesh. But in Purim, Kuli Amalo Pli, there's a Suda's Purim, and that's the nature of the Chovah and the Mitzvah. You should have to repeat Birkas HaMazon if you left out Al-Hanisim. Now at the end of this discussion, he writes that B'harachamon Yom HaRachman Yasalonu Nisim, that in those cases where you're not going to repeat benching and you left out Al-Hanisim, add the Al-Hanisim as one of the HaRachamons. Again, that's very nice and fine, but it's not going to solve your problem, because when you finished all the brachas of Kriyashva with Al Yechasreinu, that's it. You know, it's nice to add harachamons, but that's not relevant to the benching and to the su'uda. Kishachal su'uda shal pur b'erev Shabbos, and we said we have to be very careful to allow room in our belly for owning Shabbos that night of Shabbos. We should eat our su'uda early. But what happens if he eats his Suda and he continues his Suda and it's nightfall, it's after nightfall? Now what's going to happen here? He's going to bench, and L'chora at this point he has a tarati de sasre, a contradiction in terms. He must mention Purim because this is Suda's Purim, so he needs Al-Anisim. On the other hand, it's already Shabbos, so he should recite Ritzeh. He says, "Im kein eich yomer Al-Anisim v'havi tarati de sasre v'keva de'inas koras Al-Anisim chover kol kachalchein omer yomer rak shel Shabbos yishtzei Ritzeh," even if it means forfeiting Al-Anisim. Now before we read the next line, let's just think about this. He's got a tarti disaster. If he recites Al-Anisim and Ritzeh in the same Birkas HaMazon, so that's a contradiction in terms. So let's just think, in the case of, let's say Yontif was on a Friday, and he starts his Suda on Friday, Suda's Yontif. So L'chori is going to have to bench with the Alav Yom. He continues the suda to Shabbos. Shabbos is not Yotif anymore. He has to say Ritzeh. Tar to the Sasra. Or let's say that Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday and he eats his Shal Shudas and he continues the Shal Shudas into the night. So should he, if he recites both Ritzeh and Yal Viyovo, he's again involved in Tata the Sasra. So here too, he started his Suda on Purim, he finished
it. That's a more common occurrence.
Yeah, he finished it on Shabbos because Purim was on Friday. So now he's benching on Shabbos night, Friday night, and he has two mechayvim. He's got the mechayv of Yal Viyovo, of Alanisim, excuse me, Alts Purim, and he also has a mechayv of Ritzeh. I don't know. I'm confused here because I always thought that the rule of thumb in Tarti de Sastre is Azlina Grera. We apply the principle of Grera and Garida Basar. Asli Bosa Trila Sasuda. So in this case, he should say Ala Nisim. Let me just read this one more time. Are you with me at all? Am I just talking to myself here? Which is okay, because the nice thing about talking to yourself is that you don't give a fresh answer. You know, you don't get fresh with the guy. He says
there are no arguments. He usually
no arguments, right? So Chal Pur Bierv Shabbos Moshka Sudos Ala Laila. Chayav lahazkir shel achshav dahainu ritzeh v'eich yomer on this v'kemen she'en haskaras ladisim chomer kol kach l'chein yomer rak shel Shabbos. What happened to Azlina Basa Tchilas Asuda? New test. He quotes the Taz and the Magen Avraham.
Rav would say that when Shabbos goes into Rosh Chodesh, be careful to stop eating bread.
Right. Because otherwise you get into Tartar Sasser.
Right, so you don't have to say.
But let's say you got into a Tartar Sasser. What do you do in that case? I think you go Basar Tchilas Asuda, and you'll say Ritzeh and leave out Yal V'yomo. But here he's saying, no, leave out Al Nisim for the benefit of Ritzeh. I don't know. I think he's adding a big, big Chiddush here. I mean, he's quoting the Gedolei HaPoskim. Then he writes, "Calls out Filuk Shalois Pala Dayin who befratim is Pala Mikode bevade any kedai lahaskirach kachal and nisim bevirkas amozim." So we're both saying, "Look, I just leave this as an open-ended question here. This seems to me to be the exception rather than the rule to prefer Ritzeh and omit." Al Anisim in this case, even though the Suda he began on Purim, and we suspend the normal rule of Azlin and Basa Tchilas Asuda, which is called Grera, only because it's more Chomer here. He wants to gain a Suda Shabbos. See, you know what you said before, Reuven, to let him eat another meal. In this case, I agree with you. I would have advocated that he should eat another meal on Shabbos and then say Ritzeh, but on this meal he would leave out Ritzeh. He would say Al Anisim because of the Tarta Sasra. And this way he gets the best of both worlds.
And when do you make Kiddush?
So that's the Sugya Poris Mapa Makadosh. We're not getting into that now. But the question is, when is he going to bench? If he's going to bench on this Suda, then Lechora he needs Al Anisim desperately. Not only that, we said there's a whole group of poskim who hold, okay, the Mishnah Berurah was vacillating, that Machzirnos, so this is critical to benching. So I would have advocated that he should recite Al Anisim. Now you're worried about Suda Shabbos, okay, that's his tough luck. He's going to have to start a Suda Shabbos and end up with a benching with Ritzeh. And he says, "Imis palo mikode bevadei nekdai lahaskir achakach al nisan." If he already davened Ma'ariv, that terminates his Purim, and therefore he's going to leave out al nisan. Again, I'm perplexed by that because if he critically needs the al nisan to set up his sudas and sudas Purim, I wouldn't be so eager to drop the ball and omit al nisan. Again, he's bothered by the problem that he already davened Ma'ariv. So if he already davened Ma'ariv, Purim is over. Let's let's make a note as to where we got up to here. He says the following. We're up to Sif Gimel, and right, we started Sif Gimel, but we didn't finish it. So B'li Neder, we'll finish that. We'll finish that tomorrow. Okay, then. So I wish everyone a very good day, what's ever left of the day, and if you're around tomorrow, we can continue whatever's good for you.
Okay,
okay then.